10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program that offers insight on today's current events and examines them through the lens of biblical end-time truth. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, in May of 2015, I'm coming to you from the corner of Babylon, and I bring to you the report from the wall as I gaze into the valley of bitter herbs and polluted waters. I can see it, folks, a convoy of humans existing day by day in the swampland of this end-time world. And these people are marching one by one in empty lives that deny their Creator as they walk toward the cliff. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is headed for destruction. War is germinating. It's sprouting in many places throughout this planet, in Europe, the Middle East, North Africa, and many places throughout the world. We are seeing the fulfillment of Matthew 24. There shall be wars and rumors of war. And also here at home, the United States has already entered her demise. The sludge of darkness is now spreading across the land like a thick fog of evil. And for those of you that are awake, you see what is going on here in this country. You see the darkness coming, and many of you grieve over it. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And from such people turn away." I just read a list of the sins that would shackle mankind in the end of time. And we see that taking place even right now. And I noticed that one of the first things that was mentioned was the love that men would have for themselves. For men will be lovers of themselves. You know, folks, that Greek word that is used is only used one time in the Bible. It's the Greek word philautos. And of course, the word phileo, brotherly love, love, phil, autos, self-love. Men will be lovers of themselves. But, you know, folks, I've wondered about that over the last few days. And when we hear those words, lovers of themselves, most of the time we interpret it as meaning as someone who looks at their reflection in the mirror and is proud of what they see, who's full of themselves, who is cocky about themselves. They're really thinking that they're all that, a legend in their own mind. And it does mean that. But think about this, folks. Men will be lovers of themselves. In other words, men will be lovers of what they are, which is the male gender. Men will love themselves. They will love the male gender. Is this also talking about homosexuality? Men will love themselves, their own gender? Is that possible? I think it is, because when we look around America right now, we see the sludge of the homosexual evil agenda bulldozing its way across this country. Have you noticed that, folks? It's everywhere. And to say anything about it makes a person become labeled by the homosexuals as homophobes. You are a homophobe. You have homophobia. So instead of addressing the evil, and instead of them seeing the evil abomination that they are participating in, and the profane lifestyle that they're participating in, it's easier for them to keep their conscience seared with a branding iron of lies and self-deception by throwing names out to those who are merely stating the truth, or by throwing names out and accusations to those who are made ill by their actions. Or, let me just say it bluntly, folks, to those who are disgusted by their actions. Folks, as I look across the landscape of America, I see God's judgment bulldozing. It's already gathering momentum. When we look at when this thing got started in 2008, that was almost 7 years ago. 7 year anniversary is going to be this coming September. And when we look at when it got started and we measure the landscape and the moral barometer then versus now, this nation has not improved. This nation has not found reform. This nation has not obtained a hunger for the things of God or for the Bible or the statutes of God. This nation is continuing to go down into the pit of destruction and evil. Nathan, why are you picking on the homosexuals? I'm not picking on the homosexuals, folks. I'm just calling it what it is. Right now, the United States is teetering. This entire nation is going to go over the edge of a cliff, and when it does, it will find no mercy from God. God is holding back on the final portion of his judgment. We're in his grace period. He is prolonging the vision just a little bit longer. And while he is doing that, the nation continues to push him away and to reject him. And one of the biggest sources of evil is the homosexual onslaught and the homosexual agenda. And this stain that's over America right now is not doing us any favors. It's spreading like a cancer, and it's going to ensure that this nation fails. It's going to ensure that this nation goes over the cliff. It's going to ensure that this nation will continue to hemorrhage. And it will also ensure that we will find no mercy from God, because the American church, the Western church, the pulpits across America today are saying nothing about it. And they are patty caking the issue. They're not meeting it head on. And why is that, folks? Have you wondered? Why? Why is the agenda so strong? On TV, almost every sitcom, almost every drama, almost every movie, almost every regular program has the gay character, has the homosexual father or mother. And now we even have TV shows that are focused around this cancerous lifestyle. The modern family, the progressive family, this and that. Children's programs have gay characters in them. Most Hollywood movies usually have the gay character, the affirmative action gay person that they throw in there. Now, why is that, folks? Why is it that every TV show, every movie, every magazine ad, commercials, why is it that they are pushing the gay agenda? Is this random? I don't think so. I believe that this is the onslaught of evil that 2 Timothy talks about. Lovers of themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, God has to be grieved when he looks down on America and sees how his loving kindness has extended and postponed the judgment from hitting hard. And his loving kindness has held back the waters and the whirlwind. It's held back the invasion. It's held back the onslaught of great evil that will eventually arrive over the land. God's loving kindness is holding it back, folks. But in the midst of his mercy, America continues to waver and to mock and to scoff and to ignore him. America continues to ignore the signs that are so obvious. And thank God that many of you do see his signs. Thank God that many of you are awake. Thank God that many of you who were once blind can now see. And you have the eyes to see. You have the ears to hear. You're hungry for a message and a word from him. You want to know what to do for your family and which direction to go. You want to know what measures that you need to take. You want to know what's going to happen to your loved ones who are wavering right now? I know you're out there, folks. Some of you have loved ones, you have spouses who they're not on the same page with you, and it grieves you and it breaks your heart. But my friend, keep standing in the gap. Don't give up. There is a gap where you can position yourself between the judgment to your loved one and the mercy of God and the protection of God. We see that in the Bible. We see when Moses stood in the gap for the people of Israel. Folks, stand in the gap for your loved ones. Don't give up. I know that there are some of you that are you're worried for your loved ones because you don't want the worst to happen to them. You don't want to see them carried away by the winds that are coming or the waves that are coming. So my friend, please don't give up. God is watching all of this. He is in control. And right now, as America teeters, God's watching to see which ones are going to depend on him. God is watching to see which of those amongst the body of Christ are going to fortify their walls with tempered mortar that can only come from God. Because, folks, there is temperate mortar. Every one of you that are listening are trying to get situated and you want to fortify your dwelling place. You want to fortify the walls around your property. You want to fortify your life, your family. And the only way to do that is to fortify your dwelling place with mortar that is tempered by God. Now, what do I mean by that? We can find that in Ezekiel chapter 13. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel 13:4. It says, "You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord." There it is, folks, standing in the gap. When you stand in the gap, you can build a wall and fortify a wall for your loved ones. And Israel was having the same problem that the United States is having right now. They were deceived by false prophets and they were deceived by their own imaginations, which told them that since Israel was at one time blessed by God and endorsed by God, then she would forever be endorsed by God, no matter how they behaved and no matter how they acted. So when the real prophets of God showed up and told them that they were going to be judged, they didn't believe it, because there were false prophets that said, God just wants to make you a champion. You're going to be okay. You will never be a widow. You will never hurt. You will never feel pain and no pain or see sorrow. And we see that same thing happening today in America. While the watchmen and the voices and the messengers of God are crying out from the wilderness and from the walls, from the high towers, trying to warn the people that the judgment's coming, most of America doesn't want to listen. And in Ezekiel 13, for those that were starting to understand that they needed to fortify their walls, look what it says in Ezekiel 13. In verse 9, God said that his hand is against the false prophets because they're giving a false word. And then in verse 10, God says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there's no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. So say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. And then moving down to verse 14, see, I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall and you will be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And it goes on to explain how the walls that people build can be self-fortified with mortar and bricks and materials that God has not blessed, that God will not bless, that God will not support, that God will not sustain. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to this message that I bring, I do not only bring a message that says that America is going to go into bad times. I'm not just a quote-unquote prophet of doom that wants to bring bad news and then leave you hanging. My message contains the challenge. It contains a warning, but it also includes a challenge and an admonition to prepare for the days that are coming, prepare for the judgment of God, prepare for the onslaught of evil and the whirlwind that's going to come over the land and peel the land and bulldoze over the land of America with great sights that will cause men's hearts to fail for fear. The message does include that. However, it also includes this. Please get your house in order and discover the temperate mortar that can only come from God. The temperate mortar comes from the prayer closet and from repentance. It comes from looking in the mirror and dealing with the things that you've tolerated for too long. I know that it's hard living in Babylon. I know that the temptations at times overwhelm. I know that at times the people of God stumble. I know that at times the vexation of confusion or deception can overcome a well-meaning child of God. I know that. It happened to David in the Bible. It happened to Samson. It happened to Peter. But folks, in the remaining time that we have, we need to put those things behind us. Lay down the devices that you're using to hurt yourself. Lay down the devices of self-destruction. Lay down the devices of addiction. Lay down the devices that have deceived your flesh and made you forget the road that you're walking on. Lay them down and come to the cross of God. We do have a Savior. We do have a God that loves you. He cares about your family. He cares about your marriage. He sees the pain that you're going through, the hurt. He sees the stings of life that have placed welts and scars upon you. He sees it, folks. But he's also provided a way for you to be healed and restored. So my friends, as you hear this message that I bring, know this. You can rebuild the walls around your house, around your dwelling, around your family. You can build a fortress that depends on God. You can relocate a dwelling place that at one time was not giving God glory and was not a good testimony, but God can turn it around. All it takes is for you to submit yourself to Him. And if you do see that in your life and in your family, you have tolerated walls that were tempered by Babylon, you built them on the foundation of lies or the wrong things. Folks, we've all done it. I know that a lot of you who are out there listening are dwelling in houses that are not sustainable. So my friends, please remember this in your prayers. Psalms 91, the secret place can only be found in the prayer closet. It can only be found with your spiritual revival with God. And that starts with repentance. That starts with you being honest with yourself. Starts with us telling ourselves and admitting to ourselves that, hey, okay, it's time for this haircut. It's time to get rid of the extra baggage. It's time to get rid of those things that I've been holding on to. And you can do it because Jesus made a way. But all it takes is us being willing to submit ourselves to it. And you know, folks, if we only knew how horrible and fearful it was going to be, if we really knew how terrible it was going to be, many of you would already be doing what you're supposed to do. You would, folks, but I know that the enemy can place a grip on the lives of people, and some people, unfortunately, wait until it's too late. And I don't want to see that happen to you. When Jesus was here on earth and he stood outside of Jerusalem, we can read about the account when he wept outside of Jerusalem. And in the book of Luke, chapter 19:41, it says, when Jesus came near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. And he said, if you had known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto your peace. In other words, if you knew the things that were coming, and if you knew that I could bring you peace, I could give it to you, I would. But instead, now they're hid from your eyes. And Jesus wept over the people of the city because he knew what was going to happen to them in the future. He knew that Jerusalem was going to get destroyed. He knew a lot of them were going to perish. And he knew that they weren't going to make it because he's God. He knew what was going to happen to them. And so he was pleading with them and said, if you knew that I could give you peace, I could give you so many blessings, I could protect you, but unfortunately you don't want to hear it. And as a result, you'll never see it. And they're hidden from your eyes. So folks, that's another thing that we need to be praying for. Open my eyes, Lord. Allow me to see this world for what it really is. And allow me to see myself for what I really am. And allow me to see that without you, I'm not going to make it. Allow me to see that without you, I'm going to perish. And allow me to see that with you, I can have hope and peace. Don't let these things be hid from your eyes. God wants to open our eyes. And he wants to open our ears. And he tells us this in the book of Revelation. For him that has the ears to hear, let him hear. In the book of Luke, chapter 13:34, there's another account of Jesus grieving over Jerusalem. And he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood or her babies under her wings, but you were not willing. In other words, Jesus was saying, I wanted to place you under my wing of protection. Just like we can read about in Psalms 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91, verse 4, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. This is what Jesus was saying to them. I wanted to gather your children together like a hen gathers her children under her wings, but you were not willing. How sad is that, folks? That Jesus was quoting Psalms 91 because he is God. And he was appealing to them, trying to tell them that he could protect them, but they didn't want it. And here we are today in America. If Jesus was standing outside the shores of America or along the borders of America or in Washington, D.C., and he looked over the land, what would he say to America? Would he weep the same way? Would he say, oh, America, America, the one who kills my messengers and mocks and scoffs my watchmen that are sent to her? How often I wanted to gather you together and protect you under my wing, but you were not willing. Here in America, ladies and gentlemen, the land of the free and the home of the brave no longer wants God. They reject God. And as I was saying earlier, the homosexual agenda rejects God, and it mocks Christians who are grieved by their actions. So they continue to shove their agenda down the throats of America. And they continue to push it as a a scheme of indoctrination throughout the culture of America and throughout the social fabric of America. And as a result, America has re-educated herself to reject God and to instead accept the agenda of the flesh, the agenda that approves evil and mocks righteousness, the agenda that says God loves me and tolerates me no matter what I do and no matter how I act and no matter how we act. God won't judge us, so how dare you say so? That's where we are, folks. And because I continually see this madness reinforced, then I have to conclude that America will not find itself under the shelter of God's wings. And sadly, as a result, ladies and gentlemen, when the barrage of judgment arrives, when the whirlwind arrives, when the tsunami arrives, when the darkness really arrives, when the underlings of hell are allowed to engulf this land with the madness of satanic evil, where will people find shelter? Where will Americans find shelter? Where will freedom-loving Americans who value their right to do whatever they please find shelter if they rejected God? Without God, shelter will not exist. Without God, the walls will fall down, and God will make sure that they fall down. Without God, the walls that are built with untempered mortar will be reduced to rubble. I saw a recent story about the U.S. Army ROTC program in Temple University, who made the ROTC cadets wear high-heeled shoes and walk across the campus of Temple University wearing red shoes. The recruits who are going to be defending the freedom of America were made to dress up like girls. Now, we're talking about young men who are being trained to be soldiers. They were instructed to put on girly shoes, high-heeled shoes, and walk across the campus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, really? How insane is that? Maybe to some of them it was a funny little joke, but seriously, to dress up our soldiers, to act like women, to be effeminate, is insanity. And I know what was behind this. The homosexual agenda is behind all this nonsense. Or how about the other story that occurred in February, where the U.S. Navy had a lottery, and sailors were allowed to place their names in a bin, and the winner's name would be pulled out, and whoever the winner was, when that ship returned from sea, the winning sailor was going to be allowed to kiss their lover or their partner for a photo opportunity for the Navy. And, well, guess what, folks? The winning sailor is a gay, homosexual sodomite named Petty Officer Thomas Sawicki, a sodomite young man who greeted his sodomite boyfriend with a kiss and a photo opportunity that was publicized. Now, the Navy did this. Two men kissing at the harbor because the boyfriend missed his Navy boyfriend, so now he was back, so he was kissing him hello. Now, again, ladies and gentlemen, how insane is that? What kind of madness has America fallen into? What kind of sewage has entered the veins of the fabric of America to accept this nonsense and this profanity, this abomination? And Jesus wants to protect this nation. He wants to salvage this nation. He wants to give this nation his mercy. But when Americans act that way, and when the military forces that defend this country behave in such a bizarre manner, God can't bless it, folks. God is not going to bless the United States military when it behaves that way. Nathan, what's wrong with two guys kissing? Aren't you tolerant? You're a hater. No, I'm not. You're profane. And if you believe this stuff's okay, then your morals are an abomination in the eyes of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not going to hold back his judgment because people want to rewrite the scriptures. If it is evil, then it's evil. And if it is pure and righteous, then it is righteous. But we can't flip-flop about it. And we can't pretend. And it's because of this nonsense that the judgment is arriving. The United States is going to be bulldozed. The United States will not find herself under his wing of protection when it behaves this way. And since it has already decided that it chooses homosexuality over the statutes of God, then that seals the deal. And if the United States decides that it chooses Islam over Jesus, then it's not going to be protected. Am I being intolerant, folks? It's supposed to be pointed. The Word of God does not lie. God looks down from heaven at those who seek after righteousness. David said, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. The actions of man are either acceptable or they will be rejected. And as the days of man draw to a close, the wickedness of man is going to increase. And we're going to see this nonsense that I'm describing here. Because in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of others who are like them, lovers of their own gender. They will be lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, mocking God, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What the Navy did by having the sailor kiss his sodomite boyfriend was unholy. What the RLTC program did by making their recruits walk with high-heeled shoes was unholy. And it goes on, they will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, despisers of good. That means that if someone defends good, if someone defends the principles of God, if someone says, you know what, I'm not going to make a cake that says, just married Bill and Steve, congratulations, I'm not going to do it. In the last days, you'll have people that will hate that someone would stand up and they will try to use litigation against them. Kind of like what's happening now. There will be despisers of good, traitors. There will be betrayers. Ladies and gentlemen, it says it right here. People are going to betray and be traitors to one another. Side note, folks, be careful out there. There are people out there that will betray you, that will act as traitors against you. So be careful. It goes on, headstrong. That means stubborn. It means when you try to tell them the truth, they're not going to listen to you. They'll get mad at you. They'll hate you. They'll talk about you. They'll mock you. They'll call you names. They'll call you intolerant. They'll call you a homophobe. They'll call you self-righteous. Goes on, they will be arrogant, haughty. Oh yeah, try to tell someone who's in love with themselves that they're wrong. They're not going to listen to it. They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The sodomites do that, don't they? And they do it with pride, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such people, turn away. See, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to tolerate it. God does not want you hanging around these types because they'll pollute you. Their leaven will pollute you. Their counsel will deceive you. Their untrustworthiness will betray you. Their arrogance will mock you. Their brutality will inflict pain upon you. And their unholiness will seek to stain you, to bring you down, to influence you, to pull you off the path of righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, the signs from God are screaming to those that can see it. And the signs are telling us that the land of America, the land of the West, and the land of this world is going to wither away and suffer great loss because the land no longer had a thirst for God. Folks, America is going to suffer in drought, and the land of America is going to thirst because good water will not be found. And the land of America is going to continue to experience ailments that are horrible. And in April of 2008, God gave me a word of prophecy. Back then, over 7 years ago, we just passed a 7-year anniversary, April 18th, God gave me a word that the waters of America were going to be poisoned. Now here we are 7 years later. The Gulf of Mexico is poisoned. The Pacific Ocean is poisoned, and it is dead. And I remember back then I was mocked. And throughout the years, I continue to be mocked because people say that it didn't happen. It's not happening. I made it up. I'm pretending. But you know what, folks? The vision is clear. The visions that God has given his watchmen are taking place. The glimpses have occurred. And ladies and gentlemen, they do not bode well for this country because I have seen the sun setting on this country. I have seen Lady Liberty destroyed. I've seen the people crying, withering and pining away into desolation and starvation and into poverty and misery. I've seen the empty malls. I've seen the burning cities. I've seen the missiles flying, the concentration camps, the occupation by Russia and China. I've seen it, folks. I've seen the judgment that is going to arrive and blast away like a blowtorch upon this land from coast to coast, removing all of the remnants of the old blessing that America used to experience. And folks, because of the nonsense that America continues to promote with its homosexual agenda, and its agenda of madness and of darkness and of anti-God beliefs and the rejection of God and the acceptance of Chrislam or now the Muslim onslaught. Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many things that are going to come, and there are so many reasons that it is going to come, but the end result is going to be a future of a land that's going to find itself immersed in chaos and confusion and Mad Max. And I don't like it, folks, because my kids have to endure this. They have to endure this mess that the older generation tolerated and allowed. And if one was to ask the question, whose fault is this? Nathan, who do I blame for this mess? Here's whose fault it is. It's everybody's fault. Everyone is responsible. All of us are at fault. And because it's all of our fault, we all have business to do with God. We all have something that we need to repent of, folks. And there's not a lot of time left. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 12, Ezekiel, I want you to go to the people and tell them that even though they are thinking that the judgment will never arrive and they're confident and full of themselves, tell them this, Ezekiel. And this is found in Ezekiel 12, verse 28. Therefore say to them, Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord God, none of my words will be postponed anymore, but the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord. In other words, the vision that I gave you, Ezekiel, I was postponing it. I was prolonging the vision. I was trying to give them time to repent and get their hearts right. But no more, Ezekiel. I will no longer postpone the vision. And ladies and gentlemen, that's also eventually going to happen here in this land. God has given glimpses and prophetic utterances to a lot of his people in these last days. And God has sought to warn the people. He's given glimpses to many people. I'm not the only one, but the glimpses are very similar. The destruction of America, the withering of America, the invasion of America, the downfall of America. And many people have been warning for a long time, for years. And at the same time, you have mockers and scoffers who have denied the vision and said, where is it? Where is it, Nathan? You say that this is going to happen. I don't see Russian troops here. I don't see Chinese troops. I don't see martial law. I don't see a crash of the dollar. I don't see this destruction you talk about. You must be a liar. You made this up. You're a false prophet. You're a fearmonger. But you know what, folks? The reason it hasn't happened yet is God's grace. It's as simple as that. It was God's grace that was prolonging the vision so that the people can get ready and have their hearts right. And as we look at current events right now across the world, I see the fault line beginning to tremble. I see the storm clouds brewing and rising and becoming darker. I see the ground opening up and the doorways of evil that eventually will allow an onslaught of horror to come to the surface. I see those doorways beginning to open, folks. God gave glimpses and visions, and he is not going to prolong it forever. So my friend, in the remaining time that we have, make it count and rediscover your relationship with God. Do the things that you used to do. If you've lost your first love, if you're not where you're supposed to be, then do the things you used to do. Between now and then, you have time to do it. You have time to win over your loved ones. You have time to pray for your loved ones. There's so many tipping points right now with war. And then we have the tipping point of martial law. We've seen the beginnings of riots, racial wars, racial riots in portions of the United States. We see natural calamity that is increasing, earthquakes, storms, drought. We see terrorism taking over a large part of the world and spreading. We see the threat of terror spreading here to the United States. We see the threat of ISIS terrorism arriving here in America. Just a few days ago, we saw it almost happen outside of Dallas, Texas, in Garland, Texas. But thank God they were stopped. We see the tipping point of a collapse of the dollar, of civil war and martial law, of an invasion. And then now we also have the tipping point of tyranny. Jade Helm. Jade Helm is a huge story in the alternative media right now. There are many individuals wanting to know what it is. A lot of people want answers about Jade Helm. There's a lot of people speculating. A lot of people are worried and concerned. A lot of people wondering if this is going to be it, if it's going to go live, if this is going to be the beginning of extractions that send Americans to internment camps. There's a lot of questions about Jade Helm, and folks, there are so many things that could occur. At any given day, something major could happen. So I want to challenge you to continue to stay awake and continue to be vigilant. Now, in the remaining portion of this program, I'm going to talk about Jade Helm. But first, I want to ask you this, folks. Please share this program with your friends, your family, with spiritual leaders. If you know a pastor that's wanting answers, about current events or things that are found in the alternative media. You know, folks, there is a huge gulf between many Christians. I would say the majority of Christians, probably 90% of them, have no clue what's going on regarding the onslaught of evil, regarding the New World Order, regarding the global elite plan, Agenda 21, you know, all those topics that we know about, the takedown of the dollar, the coming war with Russia, all of those topics. Most Christians have no clue that those things are coming. They have no clue. It's just a small portion of the population that knows about these things. And thank God that you're one of them. Thank God that your eyes were opened. Some of you are new to this. Some of you are brand new at this. You just discovered what's going on in this world and you're hungry to know more. So I want to welcome you to this program if you're a new listener. But I want to warn you with this, my friend. As you hear this information, it can be overwhelming. It can get scary. So you need to temper it with the Word of God and temper it with a good prayer life. Maintain your walk with God and maintain your relationship with God and become acquainted and familiar with Psalms 91 and make it a prayer for you and your family to be protected by God, because that's what we're going to need when this thing gets really going. So now let's talk about Jade Helm. Because Obama's in charge of the military, the question must be asked, is it innocuous? Is it innocent? Is it just a simple training exercise that is not going to endanger the future of America, that has nothing to do with martial law or live extractions? Is that possible? Well, anything's possible, so yeah, it's possible. However, I don't think so, folks. And for the remainder of this program, I'm going to talk about Jade Helm, and I'm going to explain some things about Jade Helm. So I want to invite you to take a lot of notes, and I mean a lot of notes, folks. If you want to understand Jade Helm, take a lot of notes. Well, Nathan, it's kind of boring. What do I care about a military operation? Well, here's why. I believe that Jade Helm is a part of Bible prophecy. Based on what I have been able to uncover, the U.S. military and the DOD, the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, is right now breaking new ground on a new military doctrine. In other words, the way they do business with future war and future engagements is going to involve elements that they have never used before, but these elements are Orwellian in nature. And these elements are going to allow the U.S. military and militaries from other countries, and these other countries are NATO countries and Western countries. So if you happen to be listening to this from Canada or Australia or New Zealand or England, this is going to involve you too. The beast system that we read about in the book of Revelation that's going to take over the world, and it's going to be able to control and monitor, keyword folks, monitor and overcome and imprison and extract and target the citizens of the end time world. That system that we read about in the Bible has its infrastructure in a new military doctrine that has arrived and is going to be tried out here in America. That new military doctrine is going to involve Jade Helm. Now, when I first started researching Jade Helm, I did not think that it was going to go down the rabbit hole that it did. I had no idea. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to share that information. This is going to be a continuing effort. If you're a regular listener, you know that I appear on Hagman and Hagman, so I'm also sharing this information there. If things go right and if I have the time, I'm also working on a book that I have to get done very, very quickly that's also going to explain all of these things so that you can have it in your hands to really understand what it is. Based on what I have researched, there are AI programs, artificial intelligence programs, that are going to become a regular part of battle planning and battle operations. The software is a part of a huge network that's going to reshape everything. And in my opinion, this is the beginnings of the beast system. I'm going to break it down now and explain how all of these pieces fit together. Now, over the past few weeks, I have made several YouTube videos that talk about this. And if you haven't had a chance to watch them, please do. You can find them on my website, watchmanscry.com. And there's a lot of information there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to offer this challenge to all of you. In order for a child of God to survive the darkness and the many challenges that are in America as well as other places, you need to be informed. You need to find out as much information as you can about current events. Now, the challenge in doing this is being able to filter through a lot of disinformation that's out there. And as I have been studying Jade Helm, this is just one of the many operations that are going to be taking place in these end times. But Jade Helm has risen to the top in the list of concerns from a lot of people. And there are many of you that are wondering what's going on. You want to know the truth about it. You want answers. And in my search, I've noticed that there is a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of people are making YouTube videos about Jade Helm right now. They're writing articles about it. A lot of well-meaning people are taking part in citizen journalism. They're taking pictures of things that they see. If you've been following Jade Helm for a while now, you know that it involves the U.S. military conducting exercises along the southern United States. The numbers of states involved has changed. I've lost count now, but it's from California all the way to Florida. The U.S. Army Special Operations is going to conduct exercises from July 15th through September 15th. Most of you know this. If you're a regular listener to my program or if you subscribe to my alerts, you've probably seen that I've been talking about Jade Helm on other programs. I've done it several times on Hagman & Hagman, as well as other radio programs. Additionally, there are others that are reporting on it and talking about it. But in the mix of all of the information that's coming out about Jade Helm, folks, I got to say something. And I hope that I'm able to communicate my heart in these words. It has to do with this. In the mix of the wide volume of Jade Helm information that's out there, I am noticing that there is some information that is not true. Some information is misinformation, or some of the information is populated with erroneous sources, with rumors, with things that aren't true. I'm noticing this. Now, I'm not trying to fault anybody when I say this, but as I observe some of the erroneous information that's out there, I find myself very concerned because in my spirit and in my heart of hearts, I see that the erroneous information is going to play a role in the expected outcome or the desired outcome of those who are in charge, of those with nefarious motives. There is a desire from the powers that be to bring about martial law here in America. There's a desire for the next shoe to drop. There is a desire to bring about chaos, because it will be through chaos that the New World Order will be birthed. It will be in the aftermath of chaos that many of the new directives and initiatives can come into play, which are going to take the world into the Orwellian police state. In the book of Revelation chapter 13, we are told that the beast rises from the sea at the end of time. And this beast will be driven by satanic power. It will be motivated and steered by principalities who hate God. And as it takes over the world, it is not going to have mercy. It will not care about humanity. It will not care about freedom or the Constitution, free speech. It will be an enemy of Christianity. Revelation tells us for a season, for 3.5 years, it will be allowed to overcome the saints of God. That means that it will persecute the church. It will send Christians into captivity. It's going to be horrible. It will be the nightmare of nightmares for planet Earth. And when this thing, this beast, this creature, is allowed to get a foothold and have a short season over the earth, it will control the population of Earth. It's going to kill a lot of people. The Bible tells us that billions of people are going to die during the tribulation period. And in order for this beast system to control the earth, it's going to need to have a very clever way of operating. We're told in Revelation it will mandate an economic system where no man can buy or sell. It's the mark of the beast. We've heard about it. And a lot of people have wondered what the mark of the beast is. There's a lot of opinions out there. A lot of you have read books about it. You've speculated. And there's a lot of theories out there. A lot of them make sense. What I want to talk about today is the engine behind the mark of the beast and the engine that gives power to the end time New World Order empire. What will that power be? Well, it's going to be powered by Satan. We know that. And that means that the principalities, the powers, the rulers, satanic forces, very powerful evil spirits, very powerful fallen angels with different ranks throughout the world will be serving Satan, and they will have one thing in mind, and that is to place the world under their spell, to control the world, to steer the world, to subdue planet Earth. Now, in order for them to do this, they're going to have a very, very crafty method of world control. And the method is going to involve finance. It's going to involve controlling how people buy and sell. And when you can control the money system of the world, you pretty much can control people, because people don't want to starve. When you have a mother concerned over the welfare of her child, you can pretty much control that mother for the most part, if that mother does not have faith in God. And if that mother only cares about self-preservation or the preservation of a loved one, you can get them to do some things that in the past you wouldn't. So using finance and the power over the world financial system is one of the methods that they will use. That's not the only one. We're told that the beast will be allowed to behead people. The beast will have a method of threat and of fear that if people do not follow, there will be reprisal. So the beast system will have a big stick. It'll carry a hammer. It'll carry a sword. It will carry the threat of death, reprisal, destruction. So on one hand, the beast will have control through finance, and in another hand, the beast will have control through force, through power, through the barrel of a gun. So for the beast to accomplish this, the New World Order beast system will have to evolve into some sort of system where the military forces of planet Earth will be on the same page for the most part. Now, there will always be those who don't entirely agree, but for a short season, the Bible tells us the leadership of planet Earth will, for a short season, go along with it. Now, as we read further along in Revelation, we see that eventually it starts fragmenting. It never really can stay totally together, iron mixed with clay, because the religious aspect of the New World Order will never really stick together. So we know that's going to eventually happen. There will be differing opinions about religion. Perhaps the Muslims will go along with it temporarily, but then they will not like following the Vatican or the Catholic Church or the contaminated state church system. So it'll break apart eventually. But until that happens, there will be a military force that the New World Order will use to control the people. We can read in the book of Daniel that the villain, the end time villain, the little horn, will worship the God of forces. So he will use force to corral the people. And if we know that this is going to happen then, we also know that they're going to be able to control the people through a grid of information gathering, through spying. Just like Hitler did in the 1940s, the Gestapo knew. They were able to spy on people back then, and then the Soviet Union was able to control the Soviet bloc of nations for several decades through spying. Well, during the end time New World Order tribulation period, the beast system will control people through spying. If you studied the end times long enough, you know this. But one thing that escapes the thoughts of many people, and I'm noticing this even right now as I'm observing Jade Helm, is that a lot of people aren't putting the pieces together. Because if we know that eventually the Big Brother Orwellian system of spying, the spy network to corral everyone, is going to be in place and in business, if we know this is going to happen, folks, then if we work backwards from that eventual goal to where we are now, we can see the spy system developing. We can see that the foundation is under construction right now throughout the world. And that's another thing that I need to stress about Jade Helm. As I have been researching Jade Helm, I have been able to uncover a lot of information that has to do with that very thing. So if one was to ask, what is Jade Helm? Some of you have had friends asking you that. You've tried to warn them about it. It's not easy to answer because Jade Helm is complex. Now, up to this point, we're in the month of May. Jade Helm has been on the news now for several weeks, and a lot of information has come forth. And there are some people who would sum up Jade Helm to say, well, Jade Helm is coming martial law. They're going to take over. Martial law's coming. So they're getting everything situated. They're getting the equipment and the artillery. Military vehicles are being situated and relocated to different parts of the country because martial law is coming. And I want to say this, folks. When I initially saw the announcement of Jade Helm and then I first started hearing about it and reading about it, we didn't have a lot of information. We didn't have the complete picture. So at that time, a lot of people were saying it's going to be martial law. This is it. They're going to extract people. They're going to start arresting people. They're going to pretend to practice in the middle of the night in Texas, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Mississippi, all the way to Florida. They're going to pretend to be practicing, but then they're going to be extracting American citizens and taking them to FEMA camps. That was the initial rumor of Jade Helm. Since then, More information has come forth, and I have tried my best to be scholarly in my approach to uncover the truth about Jade Helm, and that's what I want to talk about today. So I need to qualify what I'm going to share with this. While it is true that Jade Helm could go live, and I'm not leaving that possibility unvisited because it could happen, folks. It could. We could have a false flag event, terrorist attack. The dollar could crash during this summer, which would coincide with Jade Helm being in place. Or I've seen some of the other rumors that an asteroid's going to hit the Earth or some natural cataclysmic event is coming and the government knows about it, so they're getting everything ready beforehand. And they're using Jade Helm as the excuse to have all their equipment ready. Now, those rumors I cannot confirm. I cannot confirm that a catastrophe is or is not coming. So I want to leave that on the table. Whenever I'm studying a topic regarding the New World Order or the events that are leading us toward the coming beast system, I have to be honest with myself and leave several possibilities on the table. I don't want to limit it to just one because I don't know everything. However, that being said, I also do not want to limit Jade Helm to one event. I don't want to say that it is going to be martial law for sure. This is it. I don't want to make it an open and shut case that that's where it is, because if I did, then I would leave myself open to deception. And as I have been looking at a lot of the news reports about Jade Helm, and folks, please try to hear my heart when I say this. If we were honest with ourselves, we have to be able to admit the truth to ourselves. If some of you have been reporting about Jade Helm and what I'm about to say applies to you, please think about it. If you're a Christian, pray about it. Please do not dismiss it with a reaction of anger and not think about it. Let me explain why I'm saying this. Because the Bible tells us that as the New World Order beast arrives on planet Earth, it's going to use the strategy of deception to overtake the population. It's going to trick everybody. It's going to lie to everyone. That means it's going to use propaganda and PR campaigns and various methods of brainwashing to steer public opinion and to steer the way that people think. Now, I have a verse I want to read to you in the book of 2 Thessalonians. This passage has been attributed to the end time villain known as the Antichrist, the little horn, etc. However, part of this passage also includes why the end time villain was able to take over. And it has to do with the attitude of the people. It starts in verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Lying, folks. Deception. Non-truth. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. So, the end time New World Order beast will have their villain, their poster boy, able to deceive the world through deception. And the deception will take place on those who perish. Why will it happen? Goes on, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The love of the truth. When people have no respect for the truth, they will perish and they will not be saved. Every one of you that are trying to understand Jade Helm, we need to make sure that what we're believing is indeed the truth, and that it can be backed by the truth, that it can be proven. It goes on, for this reason, now watch this, folks. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I'll stop right there, and I want to talk about it. What did we read right here? We read that those who do not love the truth, respect the truth, desire the truth, and have an appreciation from the truth will fall to delusion. Now, let's talk about that topic and consider it with Operation Jade Helm. As Jade Helm draws closer, July 15th through September 15th, we're going to find out more information, and by the end of that period of time, September 15th to October, and then toward the end of the year, one of two things will happen. Either it did go live, and many of the concerns that a lot of you have will have taken place, and people were extracted, and thus Camp FEMA will be a destination resort for those who are found to be undesirable to the New World Order beast system, i.e. the United States government or others. Or it will not go live. Now, if it doesn't go live, I can also see something happening or occurring. If Jade Helm does not go live, I can see that there will be many people who will say, see, you cried wolf. Jade Helm was like Y2K. You got everyone all riled up and concerned and scared, and now it didn't happen. You're a liar. You just made it up, and I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Some people are going to say that, folks, if it doesn't go live. Perhaps some of your family members may say certain things if it doesn't go live. Some of you may be tempted to be frustrated and say, hey, where is it? Why didn't it happen? Now what? Some of you may wonder what happened. Some of you may be tempted to just plug yourself back into the matrix, go back to sleep, and say, I've had enough of this because it's all fear-mongering and it just wasted my time and I feel silly because I'm the laughingstock with my family or my friends. Now, it is possible that may happen, folks. And if it does happen, the only reason that it does is because some people have painted a picture that Jade Helm is absolutely for sure going to play out in a certain way, martial law, FEMA camps, extractions, etc. And they are painting the picture with a method that is using absolute statements. This is it. And absolute statements are dangerous because if we're not sure about something, then they can backfire. It's kind of like predicting or date setting or prophesying something that is very exact, and then when it doesn't happen, then we have pie on our face, and it's embarrassing. So I'm bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen. If you are trying to warn some friends about Jade Helm, please try to get in the habit of doing it in context. Qualify the concerns. We need to do that. Number one, qualify with your loved ones what possibly could happen. Now, during this program, I'm going to share what I believe Jade Helm really is. Because I believe what Jade Helm really is one of several versions of an operation. And some versions of Jade Helm have already taken place. They have already taken place in the United States as well as in other countries, in some NATO countries, in some of our allied countries, in Europe, Canada, and other places. But possibly they took place under a different name and they were not given the public awareness that Jade Helm 15 has been given. And being that Jade Helm 15 is one of several reoccurring exercises, then I also submit this. This is not going to be the only one. It will happen again. It may happen several times over the course of the next several years until the big event happens. They're going to keep practicing the methods of Jade Helm in order to gather data and continue to write the Jade Helm manual so that they can develop the proper routine method of operation. Jade Helm is a work in progress for the U.S. military. It is not finished. And some of the elements of Jade Helm involve more than just extracting people. It's not just about extracting people. It's multifaceted and it consists of several things. Now, if you have heard me talk about Jade Helm on Hagman and Hagman, you've heard some of the things that I've shared about it. Now, for those of you that have not, I also have articles that I've written on it on my website. Usually when I'm on Hagman and Hagman, I always like to present what I talk about with documented evidence and proof. I also provide images of what I'm talking about so the listeners can know what I'm talking about so that they can see the documents for themselves so that you can see the paperwork, the abstracts, the white papers, the reports, so that you can also become educated and familiar with the topics. And also I do that so that you will have ammunition to share with your loved ones so that you can give them proof that these things are taking place. Now, as I stated, Jade Helm may go live, but if it doesn't, and I'm not sure it's going to, folks, and this is what I have called it already on other programs, I believe that Jade Helm is the ribbon-cutting commencement event of a new way that the U.S. military is going to do business. It's part of a new doctrine of military warfare and special operations and conventional warfare. Jade Helm is a new direction. It's a reboot of how the military is going to conduct itself. The U.S. military is retooling itself. And this is the realization, the dream that leaders in the military have wanted for several decades. If we were to go back and read some of the statements found in the Project for a New American Century, many of you have heard of that. It's the document written by the neocons in the late 1990s. It was published in September of 2000. It involved Paul Wolfowitz, Donald Rumsfeld, as well as many other neoconservatives who were involved in the Bush administration. And that document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, dreamed about transforming the U.S. military. You can find it under the notes of my last Hagman & Hagman program. And in that document, it talks about the U.S. military investing in new methods, new technologies, new weapons, advanced weapons, 21st century weapons that were going to be a huge investment. And they went on to say that the transformation also needs to entail the joining of forces with information technology. So they dreamt about using information technology to help the theater of operations. Now, they didn't go into detail about what types of technology, but today in the year 2015, we know what kind of information technology they were talking about. And I'll visit that in a moment. But for many years, the U.S. military wanted to transform itself. 1 year after the document was released, we had 9/11. Now, the document said the transformation is probably going to take several decades unless a new Pearl Harbor event occurs. Then the U.S. government can speed up the transformation to buy all the new cool gadgets and weapons, and it will all work out. Well, a year later, the PNAC document was published in September of 2000. 1 year later, 9/11 occurred, and that began the new journey of the U.S. military. It pretty much transformed not only the U.S. military, but the world. The War on Terror was born. And I remember Dick Cheney saying after 9/11 that in order for the United States to fight terrorism, it was going to have to go to the dark side. Well, here we are, folks. We're in the dark side now. Darkness is now here over the land of America. And the War on Terror has placed a giant barbed wire fence around America. Mayberry is now militarized. Barney Fife now carries a submachine gun. And Sheriff Andy now drives a militarized, mine-resistant vehicle. Obama talked about bringing a domestic security force, military force, that was just as strong, if not stronger than the U.S. military, and he's done it. He did it through the Department of Homeland Security marrying local police forces. He has militarized the domestic land of America. So here we are with Jade Helm. When we look at the big picture of what we know is going to eventually happen with the New World Order, when we look at the motives of the New World Order, they plan to turn planet Earth into a plantation. They plan to make you a slave. They plan to make our children slaves. Up to this point, they are successful with their efforts because the United States is becoming a slave state with the TSA, with the kiddie prisons, also known as public school, which are propaganda New World Order indoctrination centers. The United States is being transformed, folks. And in order to transform the United States from what we knew several decades ago to what it will be requires a script. And the script for the New World Order consists of several chapters. And now, in 2015, we are seeing that they are successful. Several chapters have gone by. Socialism is here. Control of the healthcare system is here. A destroyed economy is here. Brainwashed children are here. The fiber of morality has been destroyed in America. The agendas of evil are alive and well. The homosexual agenda is alive and well. Abortion has not gone away. The infestation of drugs is spreading. The new generation of the millennial graduates from college are now slaves to their college loans. The financial system is teetering on the edge. I could go on, folks. The infrastructure of the spy network is in place. The cameras are in place. The cameras that spy on everyone, the gadgets that spy on everyone are in place. There's just a few chapters that are missing to get us there, folks. So the next chapters in the New World Order scheme of evil are going to involve the disruption of society. They're going to involve igniting the fuse of society, igniting the last remaining vestiges of financial existence. They're going to crash the dollar. They're going to pull the rug out from the dollar. The race war is fermenting. The seeds of race hatred have been planted, watered, and fertilized by the words of Barack Hussein Obama, who has not united the country. He has divided this nation. He has placed a huge wedge between the black community and the rest of America. He has thrown in the potion of rabid violence into the black community. He has stoked the embers of anger, hatred, disrespect, selfishness, violence, vandalism, destruction into the black community. And those things are going to play into the favor of the coming police state. They needed those things in place. Obama has also planted, watered, fertilized, pruned, and harvested Muslim radicals. He's financed them. He has armed them. He has trained them. He's organized them. Radical Muslims, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. There are several. There are many. Pick a name. Pick a region. They exist now. And he has opened the borders so that they can come into America, cross the borders, and then wreak havoc here domestically. That's going to play into his favor. And then on top of that, we have the new method here in America where every American citizen is a potential suspect, a potential insurgent, a potential belligerent. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am not saying that Jade Helm will not happen, but this is what I do believe will end up happening. Jade Helm is multifaceted, and the purpose for Jade Helm, number one, the purpose of Jade Helm is to practice extracting citizens. That's the most popular concern that the alternative media keeps sharing. It's a practice for extraction. But number two, it is also a data gathering operation. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is probably the biggest purpose for Jade Helm. It is to data mine the population, to find out which citizens are going to potentially react. They want to know right now the names of the people in each town. They want to know who the Sons of Liberty are. They want to know which militia members, which patriot members would try to do something about tyranny taking over America. They want to find out in advance, and they're gathering the data right now, folks. And they're using the methods of NSA spying to do it. Now, folks, think about this. All of the individuals who are concerned about Jade Helm, who are commenting on forums, on blogs, who are making YouTubes and talking about it in social media, Facebook, emails, anyone who is talking about it and showing that they may react to it, the eye in the sky is watching. Big Brother has his ear on the internet. So if you've been talking about it on the internet, they know. This is what mastering the human domain is all about. As I look at the method that they're going to use to control the population, I see the handiwork of otherworldly entities in this. And I don't say that to give credit, but I'm saying that to show that the opponent is crafty, and we, as the children of God, need to understand so that we will not fall into the snare of deception. As I have examined the inner doctrine, the inner works, a huge part of this new method involves propaganda, brainwashing. It involves confusing the people. The United States government, they employ shills and trolls whose job it is to work in a government basement boiler room to purposely go online and spread misinformation in order to sabotage the alternative media and to confuse the general population. How's that tied to Jade Helm? Some of the information that is out there about Jade Helm is manufactured. It's not true. Now, over the last few weeks, I have been on a mission to understand Jade Helm, and in so doing, I have come across white papers and abstracts. Jade Helm is a multifaceted operation. One of them involves brainwashing the general population. And the method of brainwashing is the cognitive part of the battle. It's the cognitive realm of military operations. And there's a white paper that exists out there, folks. If you have a chance to download it, I have it on my website in some of my notes and images of previous Hagman programs that I've done. But this paper is called Cognitive Joint Force Entry. It was published by the United States Army Special Operations, and it explains in great detail how the United States military is going to use the cognitive realm as a benefit to warfare in the future. And it says future military operations will use inform and influence activities. They call that IIA. They're going to inform you and influence you. And in so doing, they will have success in shaping the environment. And as they shape the environment, they will actually be shaping the way people think. It goes on to say that they will use the shaping phase as a strategic window of opportunity to influence the people. And it goes into the methods that they will use. It says that they will use the cyber domain to accomplish this. That's the internet. They're going to use the internet to win. Now, in the Jade Helm logo, we see the term mastering the human domain. The human domain is the area of the population. They have coined new phrases and acronyms and terminologies to describe this new method. To them, the human domain consists of air, sea, space, and land, and the cyber domain, which is the internet, online activity, or text messages, emails, any communication that takes place digitally. They're going to merge warfare in the cyber domain, meaning in the internet. They're going to use the internet as a method of war to shape and influence the population, meaning you. They go on to say that they're not only going to shape the influence of the people, they're going to win. In order for them to do this, they go on to say that they're going to develop a proactive posture, meaning they go in before the big event occurs. Because when the U.S. military gets involved in a theater of war, they initially begin with boots on the ground. And then warfare begins. They start blowing things up, killing people, destroying infrastructure. After the war is finished, then they stop, and then they mop up the mess, they rebuild, and then they place their puppet leaders in power and then leave. However, the new method of the military has added the proactive shaping phase. There's five phases of a military operation. Phases 1 through 5 is warfare, but they're going to start working before the boots are on the ground, pre-war. And so they named that part of the war phase 0, because it happens beforehand. And phase 0 involves going in and using propaganda and convince the people that when they do arrive, it's for their own good. So the phase 0 portion of an operation involves brainwashing. It'll often involve dropping leaflets to all of the villages, and it also involves embedding infiltrators, spies, and very well-trained social scientists to brainwash the people and to infiltrate and to spy on them and to find out who's who. These people are called human terrain teams, and they are very well trained and in the window of time that they have. For example, if they know that the boots are going to be on the ground in 6 months, then that means they have 6 months to discover who the potential troublemakers will be in the region. They have 6 months to take names, to find out all of the potential belligerents and insurgents. So they go in there in advance and find the names of the troublemakers, the people who are patriots or are involved in militia type groups, and they input those names in a database that then gets uplinked to the Pentagon. And all the information about these individuals is gathered. The satellites will then study where they live. They will pinpoint their house, get the GPS address, so that if need be, the Predator drone will know where to send the missile. And that's what we've been doing in Afghanistan, as well as other places. Now let's talk about here in America. The human terrain teams who are being trained right now are studying this method, this new doctrine. They're studying how to infiltrate. They're studying how to be spies. In the context of Jade Helm here in America, these social scientists are being trained. And by the way, if you didn't know this, folks, the College for Human Terrain Teams is located in Leavenworth, Kansas. And these social scientists are trained how to infiltrate a local population. After they have been in the program for several months, they are then sent out into Leavenworth, into the general population, and their job is to take names and to try to gather information. And they're given an imaginary scenario called MARDEX. That's M-A-R-D-E-X. It's an imaginary exercise, also designated as Western Resolve. And the human terrain candidates go into the general population of Kansas, and they are given the imaginary scenario where an area of Kansas has seceded from the United States. And there are patriot members, militia members, insurgents, belligerents, anti-government people. It's their job to go in and find out names. They are being trained to infiltrate American cities. They are being trained to come into your region if you're an American. And these individuals are taught how to gather data. They're taught how to find out who the groups are. So if you are a member of a constitutional loving patriot group, if you assemble, if you're in an Oath Keeper group, if you are a part of an end time home cell group that believes in the end times, if you have open recruitment If you have an open door policy for anyone to join you, I want to warn you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a possibility that if it has not happened already, in the future, infiltrators will try to infiltrate you to find out your business, to find out all of your members, to find out where you live, where you meet, what you do, and that information is going to be placed in the Pentagon's supercomputer, and you will be profiled. And when the time comes that martial law arrives or if tyranny arrives, then they will already have the information to do their extractions. So I'm sharing this, folks, because as I am looking at many of the YouTubes out there and many of the articles, I'm not reading very much about infiltration. So, side note, if you are in a group like this, ladies and gentlemen, you need to have a meeting and you need to come up with a policy and a standard and a way of screening your members. You need to figure it out, folks. Now, I've written an article about this on my website. I've talked about it. And if you haven't read it yet, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com. It's called Operation Jade Helm, an expose, part 2, infiltration. If you haven't read it, folks, go read it. I'll say it again, Operation Jade Helm, an expose, part 2. As I have brainstormed and tried to come up with ways that a group could try to find out if they've been infiltrated, I found myself continually at a roadblock, unable to come up with a valid way that a group could find out if they've been infiltrated. I cannot come up with a valid way to screen your members unless, and I want to qualify it, folks, unless you have a relationship with God and you depend on Him and you know Him well enough to hear His voice and to be discerning. If your group does not have members who are discerning, Spirit-filled Christians who do hear from God, you're going to have a hard time knowing if you've been deceived. Because the Bible tells us, again, ladies and gentlemen, deception. Those who don't value the truth will be deceived. So make note, folks, the United States government is now working on a method that, based on the machinery, as I examine it, this is going to be the method that's going to be used by the New World Order beast system that's coming. It's going to be used with great success. The Bible says Satan will be given authority. So the method of spying and infiltration, Hitler did it. He did it back then without computers. Today they have computers to gather all the data. So the method of gathering all this information is going to be used by spies and infiltrators. Now, when I was talking about the cognitive realm that's going to join forces with special operations, the cognitive area is very wise, folks. And I don't want to use this entire program to talk about how they're going to do it. But if you really want to understand this, you need to read this so that you will know how they're going to do it. Because it goes into great detail. It explains that they're going to form the attitudes of the population. And they'll do it through the culture, through social media, through mass media, through schools, through institutions. They're going to use every method available. So folks, make note. Now, a few weeks ago, I released a video that explained the Jade Helm logo. If you haven't seen it, you can go to my website. I have two videos there talking about the logo. And I shared that the Jade Helm logo has the two crossed arrows as well as a dagger and then the wooden shoe, the clog. And based on what I've uncovered, folks, I really believe that that clog, that shoe, represents several things. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to my website and watch the video called Jade Helm Equals Incarceration in Concentration Camp FEMA. The Jade Helm logo has a wooden shoe, and in my research, I was able to find out that during the Nazi Holocaust, Jewish prisoners, as well as many of the other prisoners who were housed in the internment camps, when they arrived at the camps, they were stripped of their clothes. They were issued prison wear that consisted of striped pajamas and wooden shoes, wooden clogs. For those that were too weak to work, they were not issued wooden shoes. But those who were strong enough to work, they were given wooden shoes. So when we look at the Jade Helm logo and we see that there's a wooden shoe on there, I am very concerned, and I believe that is a sign, a hidden sign, that means internment. It means extraction, arrest, detention, and internment, just like Hitler did. Now, a few weeks ago, on April the 27th, the U.S. Army sent to Bastrop County, Texas, a propaganda representative. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, and he answered questions for almost 2 hours for the Bastrop, Texas County Commission About 200 people showed up, and he answered questions. And someone asked him about the Jade Helm logo. Now, let me play for you what he said. Listen to this.
I have a question from Dennis here. Explain the title Jade Helm 15 logo. What does that mean?
The logo?
Jade Helm 15. Is it an acronym?
No, it is not an acronym.
Code words?
Right. Yeah, there's no code words with it. Somebody made an acronym for it. They were very creative in their thought process on alternative media to come up with that. Very creative indeed. Bottom line, this is a joint DOD-recognized exercise. So any training exercise that is recognized at the DOD Pentagon level has to have a training exercise name associated with it. Jade Helm has no special significance whatsoever, period. Much like any other training exercise or operation, you name them as a point of reference. So that way when somebody comes into my office and starts talking about Jade Helm, I know exactly what they're talking about. It's an index.
The follow-up question there is, what about that strange image in the center where the sword and arrows cross? You bring that up.
Okay, so the arrows, the cross arrows, as some people out here are from the Special Forces community, that is the branch insignia for Special Forces. The dagger going back through there is the commando dagger from World War II. The clog in there is a Danish clog that goes back to World War II up in Holland, Norway, and the like during the occupied days. People who were in the resistance threw their sabots, their shoes, into machinery, and the machinery would break. Hence, sabotage came from that activity. And that's one of the things that Special Forces do in an unconventional warfare environment with the people that you're trying to hook up with. So it's traced back to those times of war.
And one more thing on the logo. Who made up the subtitle Master of the Human Domain, and what does that mean?
So Master of the Human Domain is a construct that we operate in. It's actually the human domain. It's recognized at the Army level, and what that is there's no longer a linear battlefield after 14 years. So if you think that there's going to be another great war where it's the allies against the Axis or even the American-led efforts against the North Koreans and the Chinese, that's just not how warfare is conducted anymore. It's asymmetric in nature. And what is effort for, by for, by the enemy, is the human populace. You have a gentleman in the Middle East, we'll call him Abdullah Halik. Okay? So Abdullah Halik is able to provide you food when you can't get food. He's able to get you clean water when you can't get clean water. He's able to start up a school in your local community. And then one day, Abdullah Halik comes to you and says, hey, would you mind hiding this anti-aircraft missile for me? He's never asked that population for anything before, but he has only provided. He has worked the human domain. They take the anti-aircraft missile and they hide it for him. It is population-centered. How do we counter his credibility, his influence that he has when we come in and we move into an area for 3 days, 4 days at a time? How can you instantly pick that apart and figure it out? That is the human domain that we operate in.
Okay, now, that was a few minutes long, folks. Did you hear him say that the Jade Helm logo means nothing? It's not an acronym. It's not a code word. It means nothing. Well, in my research, I have found that that is not true. JADE is a computer program. It stands for Joint Assistant for Development and Execution. It's a computer program made by DARPA. I mentioned that earlier. The word HELM, it means control. So their computer program is in control. It's at the helm. Now, the lieutenant, when he was explaining what it meant, did you hear him say, when they asked him, what is that image, the symbol in the middle, he said it's a wooden clog and it comes from World War II, and it's the backstory of it is the Danish and the Norwegians who were resisting Hitler would take off their wooden shoes and throw it into the machinery to sabotage Hitler. Now, that is not true, folks. That never happened. If you go, and this is in my notes, if you haven't seen them already, if you go to Wikipedia and you place the word SABOT, S-A-B-O-T, That's the word for wooden shoe. It will bring up the backstory that from the 16th to the 19th centuries, that's a span of 300 years, people who wore wooden shoes would take them off and throw them into the machinery to sabotage, and this historical narrative is associated with France. On my website, in my page of notes for the last Hageman program I was on, Friday, May 8th, you can click on that. You can see the links to what I'm talking about. Show notes and images. You can go there and see it, folks. It's all right there. But the lieutenant colonel, when he was speaking to Bastrop County, he said that the word sabotage comes from World War II when they took their shoes off. According to history, this took place from the 1500s to the 1800s. So the lieutenant was off by almost 100 years. He worked for the U.S. military. Why would he say something that's not true? So since he did say that the clog image is from World War II, that's why I submit this to you, folks. Since he is trying to explain that the clog means sabotage, and that's what special forces do to a population in their unconventional warfare when they fight against belligerents or militia members or patriot groups, they use sabotage. I can go with it. I will accept that that's one of the layers of the wooden shoe in the Jade Helm logo. However, since the lieutenant colonel said it comes from World War II and it's a wooden shoe, the main reference that we do have from history of a wooden shoe and World War II is what Hitler did during the Holocaust. So as a result, ladies and gentlemen, I have no other conclusion than to say this. That wooden shoe in the Jade Helm logo means special operations will either sabotage militia groups, freedom fighters, or they will extract them and throw them at a concentration camp. It means both. It means we're going to arrest you, and you're going to be in a work camp or maybe a death camp. Depends. Depends what mood we're in, because the rest of the Jade Helm logo includes arrows and swords, which means death for the most part. Now, what do we have so far, ladies and gentlemen? We have that Jade Helm stands for a computer program. The U.S. military is going to use the cognitive realm to join with special forces. And the human domain means that they're going to send infiltrators to spy on you, to take names. Now, there's another part of Jade Helm that I need to share. If you've already heard this on other programs, then you know what I'm talking about. But folks, we need to get familiar with this. The people of God must become familiar with what I'm about to say, because we need to become vigilant. One of the other doctrines of the U.S. military involves net-centric warfare. If you're taking notes, write that down. Network-centric warfare, or network-centric operations, or net-centric warfare. You can do a search for this, and it'll bring up the wiki page that explains this. There's also some military documents that go into great detail about this. If you cannot find those links, if you don't want to do the search, on my website for my last Hageman show on Friday, May 8th, show notes, it's in there. I have the links. And I have the snapshots of what this means. But folks, listen to this. Network-centric warfare is part of the new method of warfare for the U.S. military. It's part of the new doctrine of war. I was talking about the reboot of the U.S. military. That involves network-centric warfare. What does that mean? It means that the United States government is going to network using the tool of information technology as a competitive advantage to dominate any region that they're going to go into. And they call this new method of net-centric warfare full-spectrum dominance. Those three words in themselves are very imposing. They sound very intimidating. Full-spectrum dominance. What does that mean? That means that the U.S. military is going to dominate from the time that they show up in pre-war phase, phase zero. They're going to dominate from the peacetime when they send in the infiltrators. When the infiltrators are spying on everybody and taking names, they will dominate from that point of operation all the way to the end of the operation. From the pre-phase to boots on the ground to actual fighting, blowing things up, destroying things, killing people, to the mop-up, to when they place their puppet leaders in power. They're going to dominate throughout the spectrum. So, folks, think about this. Right now, we are in the pre-wartime phase of martial law here in America. If you live in another country, you are in the pre-war phase of operation of martial law in your country, of tyranny in your country. So if you're in Canada, you right now are in the pre-war phase. In America, we are in the pre-war phase. Net-centric warfare states that during the phase we're in right now, they're going to dominate, and they're going to start using their weapons now so that when the bullets start flying, they will be ready. if their new method of war means that they're going to dominate before the war starts, that means they're dominating America right now. Well, Nathan, how are they doing that? They're not lining up the citizens yet. They're not extracting people yet. How are they dominating? Here's how they're going to dominate, folks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please consider this. This is very disturbing. But what I'm about to share with you, I believe, proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Orwellian Big Brother is now here. And we are watching the beginnings of the New World Order beast rise up out of the sea as I speak and as you listen to this. Net-centric warfare states that the United States Department of Defense, the Pentagon, has mandated. That means you can't argue with it. That means it's the rule. It means that this is the way we're going to do it. We're not going backwards. We will not go backwards. By the way, that's one of their papers that they released. We're not turning back. There is no turning back from this. They have mandated that the Global Information Grid, or the GIG, will be, if you're taking notes, write that down, Global Information Grid. It's going to be the primary technical framework. That means it's going to be their source to support warfare for the military. Okay, Nathan, so what does that mean? Here's what it means, folks. The Global Information Grid is going to merge with the U.S. military. Now, first, get a hold of that. Think about it. The grid of information will be used so that the U.S. military can have supreme dominance over the population, including the population of America and our friends to the north, Canada. This includes you. Your government is also going to work this way. They're going to use the Global Information Grid so that the people in Canada can be dominated, or in Europe, in England, the UK. As I've been researching this, I have discovered that all of our allies are involved in this thing. This means Australia, New Zealand, your governments are involved in this. Now, the Global Information Grid is going to be merged with the U.S. military. Nathan, what is that? Here's what it is, folks. If you have the ability to do a search for the word Bluffdale, Utah data center, or the Utah data center, you will find out it'll bring up a new NSA facility that the NSA just built in Utah. It's a $2 billion project, and the buildings consist of over 1 million square feet of floor space. And in this 1 million square feet, the NSA is going to populate these buildings with supercomputers and servers that are going to listen. And by the way, I shouldn't say it in past tense, that are listening to everything in the United States as well as the entire world. This is the NSA Spy Center. The Utah Data Center, some of you are familiar with this. You've seen the pictures. This data center is listening to every phone call that you make, whether it's a landline or a cell phone. Ladies and gentlemen, it listens to you. It also has the records of the phone calls going back 10 years from AT&T and Verizon. So it's not a new thing, but now it's up and running in full steam. They're in business. So they're listening to every phone call, and they're reading every email that you may have, every internet search that you do, no matter what it is, whether it's Google or Bing or whatever you say you're using, whatever you try to use, they got it, folks. They know where you've been on the internet. They know what you've downloaded. They know every email. They know all of your text messages. Those have all been gathered. They have been vacuumed up. All the mobile data that you have on your cell phone, the social media, your Facebook posts, everything you say on Facebook, your credit card transactions, your debit card transactions, everything you've purchased online or in real time, every time you swipe your card, they have it. As well as all the footage from every surveillance camera across America as well as across the world. At all the traffic lights, at intersections, at ATM machines, on government buildings, Walmart parking lot, wherever there's a surveillance camera, they have it. They also have commuter records whenever you travel around, when you take airplane flights, bus tickets, train tickets, wherever you've been, folks, they know. They also have a record of your GPS movement from your cell phone, and they have record of all your medical information. Now, that is the data that is gathered in the cyber domain through digital information. Here in the United States, they have it. And get this, folks. They're spying on everyone, and not one shot has been fired. Not one shot of resistance. No one's resisted it. The silence of the people means it's approved. It's okay. People know about it now. They accept it. And that's just the way it is. Interesting, huh, folks? We went from Richard Nixon using a little reel-to-reel recorder, and he got fired for it. And now here we are. Everybody's a suspect. The Gestapo machine is in motion. And all of the patriots and militia members and constitutionalists who said there's no way that I'm going to allow myself to be subject to tyranny. There's no way I'm going to put up with this. Well, guess what, folks? It's happening now. All of the bravery talk didn't work, did it, folks? Look where we are. We've gotten this far. So let me move a little bit further. In the UK, for our friends across the pond, if you're in England or Ireland, you're part of the EU, Scotland, wherever you are, the UK also has their version of the Utah Data Center. It's called the Global Communications Headquarters, or GCHQ, and their building is called the Donut. It does the same thing. It's listening to all of you over there in Europe. So for those of you that have wondered if this thing is going to reach across the pond, it's already reaching. It's listening now. It knows everything about you. If we move north to Canada, Canadians, your version of this spy network is called Communications Security Establishment. They're spying on you. They're watching your internet browsing activity. Canada has recently had an operation called Operation Levitation, where they were spying on all of you to see what you did. They were watching you, seeing if you did illegal downloads or music, as well as other things. So, Canada, you're being spied on. And the spy network for the GSC in Canada is in a 1 million square foot building as well. It's huge. In Australia, the same thing is going on. The Pine Gap facility exists in Australia where they're listening to you. There's no secrets, folks. And by the way, all of these spy agencies are working together. They're linked together to help each other with the data gathering. And that program is called Five Eyes. And it's an intelligence alliance that consists of the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK. And Five Eyes uses the spy methods to listen in on all free citizens. This thing exists right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring it back to what I was talking about. Net-centric warfare. The United States military has mandated that they're going to use the spy network to be the framework of future military missions. That means that the U.S. military is going to use all the data that they have gathered on American citizens for future operations to determine targets. That means that the separation between using the military for domestic exercises or operations has vaporized. It's evaporated. There is no longer a separation between using the United States military against United States citizens, because now they have merged the NSA with the Department of Defense. It's all out in the open, folks. That is why when I say, when we look forward to the beast system that's coming, the beast system is going to know about everybody. And they're going to use forces, the God of forces, to control everyone. Well, now here we are. The new doctrine of the U.S. military is going to use the global information grid and NSA spying against everybody, including civilians. So with that in mind, folks, now let's go back to Jade Helm. Jade Helm, as I stated, the word Jade is a computer program. DARPA has been developing several case-based planning computer programs that will help military commanders decide on their operations. Net-centric warfare means that the commanders in the field are all going to have computers that are going to be linked to the global information grid. They're going to be linked to the Pentagon. They're going to be linked to the Department of Defense. They're going to be linked to this network of the giant gargantuan spy network. In a way, folks, Skynet is in business. Remember Skynet from Terminator 2, the computer program? The future of warfare is going to involve commanders using computer programs that are on tablets, and these programs will be able to interact with the commanders. And the commanders will be able to input information either through typing or just drawing on the screen, or the tablet will be able to, with its cameras, read the lips of the commanders. So if war is taking place and bombs are exploding and bullets are flying and it's loud, it will be able to read his lips and then answer what he wants and tell the commander what needs to happen. It will be linked to satellite systems and predator drones so that they'll be able to see the battleground, and they'll be able to make decisions based on that. In addition, these computer programs the special forces are going to use, and this is, by the way, going to spread to all the military, they're going to have these programs that will instantly be able to bring up all of the potential belligerents in a given area. For example, if martial law has taken place here in the United States and a commander goes into your city or your region or your town or your county, the U.S. military will be able to tap into the global information grid, and it will know who all the potential troublemakers are in your city. It will have already profiled everybody based on what I just shared, the data gathering that had already taken place, the data mining that had already been taking place, as well as the input that was put in through infiltrators and spies, the human terrain team that had come before. So when martial law begins, the commanders will know if you are involved in a militia type group, if you're a patriot, whatever group you're a part of, they're going to know it. They'll have your address. You will have already been profiled and given a level of threat. Your threat level will have already been determined. So they will have already decided whether or not you will be extracted. When the time comes that martial law takes place and the United States is experiencing civil war, because folks, I believe that's coming. Civil war is coming. When we get to that point, the threat level of various people will have already been decided. This means that some people will have a predetermination made that it would be easier, instead of sending boots to their location to extract them, it would be easier just to send a missile from a Predator drone to get rid of them. Because that is what is going on right now in Afghanistan. The Predator drones are flying around Afghanistan and in other places, and depending on the profile that has been made on belligerents in Afghanistan as well as other places, the decisions are daily made whether or not to fire a missile into their front door. This is going on now, folks. So, ladies and gentlemen, based on everything that I'm sharing right here, this is why the Jade Helm exercise that's coming this summer doesn't really need to go live to prove or to show that we're in trouble. The Jade Helm exercise is a ribbon cutting to practice all of these things that I shared. Net-centric warfare, human terrain teams, spying, infiltration. And also, they're going to practice using the software that's in development. They're working out the bugs. They're working out the kinks. It might not even be all the way ready, but they're working on software. So this exercise is to work out the kinks so that they will be ready when martial law comes and when civil war comes. Now, I know that this has been long. I'm running out of time, but I want to close with this. Ladies and gentlemen, please be very careful about the information that you listen to and the information that you share, because now that I have explained that they are watching the reaction, they're gathering data right now. So as a result of that, I am suspect that part of the frenzy that is being created about Jade Helm is being done purposely by shills and trolls on the internet. There is false information that is being thrown out there to see how people are going to react, to see how you're going to react. And based on how people are reacting, they're gathering data right now. They are in the beginning phases of full spectrum dominance. They're doing that right now. So be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you share. And if we are going to value the truth, then try to be disciplined in the information that you share. Be disciplined with what you share. Because there's also another possibility, and this is something I'm concerned about. What if some of the misinformation is being thrown out there to aggravate the general population and those who are potential belligerents or insurgents or sons of liberty? What if it is being done on purpose to get that one agitated person to fire the first shot, or that one deceived group to react? And what if the purpose of Jade Helm is to get people to start the fight, to throw the first punch, because they're so concerned over a lot of the information that may not be true, but still it frightened them, so their only reaction was to react without thinking it through. And thereby, in a way, the concerns of Jade Helm become a self-fulfilling prophecy. That could happen, folks. I've had several prophetic dreams that showed this very thing. A SWAT team was serving an address in an American city, and when the SWAT team showed up in their MRAP vehicles, when they got out of their vehicles, when the officers were in the middle of the road, the people who were being served were waiting for them on the rooftops of the buildings, and they stood up on the rooftops and ambushed the officers below and killed all of them. I saw this in a prophetic dream. Now, I'm not sure if they were SWAT or DHS, but I saw them get ambushed. And when this happened, I started screaming, "What have you done? Do you know what you've done?" And I was grieving because I knew that this was the beginning of civil war. This was game on. This was the shot heard around the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be very vigilant that we don't react. Now, a few weeks ago, I received an email from a concerned listener, and this listener happens to be a general, a retired general of the United States military. I have to keep his name anonymous, But he is one of the senior military officials that was forced to retire. He was kicked out because of where he stood with the Constitution. And he sent me a letter, and he told me that my prophetic dream that I just mentioned, he believes it's true, and when it plays out, it's going to play out in one of the most horrible methods that you can imagine in America. It's going to be a very dark chapter in America when it gets going. When the Civil War starts, folks, it's going to be one of the most bloody periods of history for America. And a lot of people are going to die. And the U.S. government knows this, the military knows this, and they're preparing for it. So he wrote me a letter, and he said, let me just read this, folks. I'm going to be making a YouTube about this because this needs to be shared. But listen to what he said. He says, Nathan, your concern about patriots heading off the fight is correct, as is your assessment that our military will be in the conflict. A Pentagon study in 2012 estimated that roughly 60% of active duty Army personnel are going to side with the American people when the Civil War starts. 60% are going to side with the Americans. 60% of the Army, folks. That means 40% will not. He goes on, as well as 80% of the National Guard will side with Americans. Well, that's encouraging. Somewhere around 90% of the Marines will side with the Americans. Now, that's good. Praise God for the U.S. Marines. He goes on, the Navy as a whole will stay out of the fight, choosing to be the last line of defense against foreign intervention. So they're going to be protecting our coastline when this thing's going down. And then he goes on, it is widely believed that in excess of 75% of the Air Force will side with the government. How disappointing, folks. So the breakdown we have on the side of America will be 60% of the Army, 80% of the National Guard, 90% of the Marines, and only 25% of the Air Force. Folks, this is Civil War. He finished with this, and as I read this, I was shocked. This is disturbing to hear, but let me read this. What this study says is that the coming Civil War will break down into three sides. We'll have the patriots, the government, and then those who choose not to take a side, but will protect and defend civilians. It's going to be three-sided. With modern anti-aircraft systems, mobile and man-portable, air power will be all but useless. Now, what I think he means by this is since 75% of the Air Force will side with the government, if the Air Force tries to fly any airplanes, fighter jets, Predator drones, whatever, the Air Force tries to fly them over America, since 60% of the Army will be on the side of America, as well as 80% of the National Guard and 90% of the Marines, most likely a lot of the equipment is going to be in their hands. They will have anti-aircraft missiles. They will have the means to shoot down Air Force aircraft. So therefore, the Air Force will find it's better for them not to fly because they'll get shot down. So that means, he goes on, he says, as a result, what we will see will be a ground war. It'll be a ground war, city by city, street by street. Additionally, what is coming will be unlike any civil war in history. It will be very personal. The government will call the patriots terrorists, and they will arrest, intern, torture, and murder suspected terrorist families. This means patriots. The government's going to arrest, intern, torture, and murder them, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to result in reprisals, which will start a vicious cycle, and the war will continue. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this thing takes place, it's going to be horrible for America. We will see the Army split. We will see our soldiers, our enlisted soldiers, fighting against one another. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be brother against brother. It's going to be bloody, and a lot of people are going to die. Now, since the general told me that this was a study done in 2012, this is why they are getting all of their information taken care of now. They're getting all of the preliminary homework taken care of. They're getting everything situated. And as I stated earlier, the new method of warfare is going to involve the cognitive area, which is brainwashing, as well as data gathering, the net-centric warfare, global information grid, they're going to use that, as well as boots on the ground, the soldiers with the weapons in their hand. So they're going to have three areas that they're going to use against the American people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jade Helm is, as I stated before, a ribbon cutting of this new method. They're going to practice this new method. So they don't necessarily need Jade Helm to go live this time around. What they actually need is to use Jade Helm to be a way of them working out the bugs for the future war that's coming, for the future civil war that is going to take place. So when we look at Jade Helm in this bigger picture, then we can see that Jade Helm is just one part of a multifaceted scheme of the coming New World Order Beast. This also shows us that Jade Helm is the beginning of that New World Order Beast, that system that's going to control everybody and know everything about everyone. So ladies and gentlemen, as you are sharing your information about Jade Helm, it has to be done in the bigger context of what I just shared. Now, I know I gave you a lot of information. This is a lot to swallow. It's a lot of information to digest. I know this. I have been conducting hours and hours of research to gather all this information. So if you want to share with your loved ones and your friends what Jade Helm is, use this program as a method to inform them about Jade Helm. But I want to warn you folks, it's not easy to digest. A lot of people will struggle with it because it's scary. But this shows where we are in the narrative. So we have to prepare our hearts and be aligned with God so that we will not be deceived as these things take place. Now, over the course of the next few weeks, before Jade Helm starts, I want to ask a prayer request from all of you, because I see that there is a need to gather all this information and place it in a format that communicates with the general population what this means. To explain to the population, to explain to you, your friends, your family, all of the parts of this new doctrine of Jade Helm, of net-centric warfare, of the global information grid, all of this information needs to be in one place. So I am trying to write a book right now about Jade Helm, and if I'm able to finish it, I want to make it available. It's either going to be an ebook or it's going to be a hard copy. I'll make it available for the listening audience to get a hold of. And if this thing comes to fruition, everyone needs to have a copy of it. So I want to ask that you pray for me, that God enables me to have a wise mind that's able to finish this project. I need your prayers, folks. And I need your prayers of protection, because I'm sharing some information that they do not want me to share. A few days ago, I was sharing on the J.B. Wells Caravan to Midnight program, and we were using Skype to do the program. And when I started reading the letter from the general that I just read to you just now, when I was reading that over Skype, John Wells's computer, the screen went black. We lost our signal. Skype was down, and his computer turned off. It froze up with a black screen. It's like they sent a cyber bomb to his computer to debilitate it. I lost my link to him, and it took about 15 minutes for us to get back in touch with one another. But that occurred while I was reading the general's letter that talked about the civil war that's coming. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that does not tell you that they do not want this information shared, I don't know what does. If you listen to that program, you can hear when it happens. So I value your prayers, folks. I am doing a very dangerous job right now in sharing this information. So please pray for God's protection, for Watchman's Cry, and for me, Nathan Liao. I need your prayers. I need prayers of health and of God's shield around me and my family. Now, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, I want to just say that I appreciate those of you that help support Watchman's Cry. But I also want to throw out this challenge. If you appreciate the hard work that we're doing here, this life-threatening work that I'm doing here, we appreciate and we need your support. So folks, pray about it. Ask God if you have found benefit to your spirit and to the information that we put out there. When I'm on the Hagman & Hagman program, I work very hard to provide a lot of data in my notes and images. There's a lot of work in there, folks, and it's in there to benefit you, the listener. So if you appreciate what we're doing, show it with your support. There's a lot of projects that I still want to do, and if you help support us, I'll be able to get these done to warn the masses of people that are out there. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Share this message with everyone, folks. Share it. Stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.